Can we come up and have a look?
Of course not. You are English type, sir.
Well, what are you then?
I'm French. Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly king?
What are you doing in England?
Mind your own business.
If you will not show us the Grail, we shall take your castle by force.
You don't frighten us, English pig dogs. Go and boil your bottom, sons of a silly person. I'll blow my nose at you, so-called Arthur King. You and all your silly English kniggets.
What a strange person.
Now look here, my good man.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries.
Is there someone else up there we can talk to?
No, now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
This is Douglas.
Just to let everybody know, it is official. Damien said it earlier. We are now big in Japan.
Yes, we are big in Japan.
By the way, the reason I laugh, right? And seeing as Damien hates music, it cannot be the joke that he meant. Was that's a really big Tom Waits song, and I fucking love Tom Waits.
Yeah, I know that song. Everybody in the world knows that.
Okay, so that is
the precise reason I made that joke. I know if that joke plays nowhere else, which it probably doesn't, one person I know will get that joke. That joke is like it is a arrow pointing to Douglas. Three people will get why this is funny. And I know
12. That's perfect. I love that man way too much.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
You really do.
So, guys.
Yes. As I play with plastic bags.
There's new technology now.
Oh, yeah. And so little of it is mine.
I want to take a moment. I want to take a breath. To say goodbye to the 6-year-old laptop. that was the Dell Studio XPS 16.
I remember.
Remember that time when Dell
thought
it was a good idea to merge their studio line, their cheap budget line, with their XPS expensive gaming line to make something in the middle.
And it was glorious.
And it had the nice leather outside to make it look all sexy. And I was like, I want that. And it served me very well.
Well,
I'm not
gonna
lie.
All right. Let us walk some of that back. It served you well for a time.
And then
it was the bane
angry.
Of your existence.
And then I was just angry.
And then you hated both people, Dell and laptops.
Even more so when I started to try to fix things, only to discover that they found out they made a mistake and stopped making that laptop. So all the parts I needed to fix it were impossible to find.
They're like, we're not going to deal with this anymore. Guess what you guys can do? Jump off a cliff.
I would like to say hello to the new Asus.
Asus. Not Asus. Don't let the... They won't sponsor you if you get the name wrong. It is Asus.
Asus?
Yes.
Why on earth is this happening?
Because it's an Asus.
This is not even a number I know. It's the sad part.
Okay.
Holy shit.
I'll
call it, but never.
I had an interesting experience, though. Like, we're not going to do questions this week because on top of everything else, the question hasn't been posed to people because the new episode last week hasn't been posted.
Yep.
Because between the fact that on Sunday I fell sick, right, and from Thursday to Saturday I was in Nebraska, and now today we're recording and I haven't had time to do the edit or anything. But I discovered something new. I've had this sickness. Let me not say I've had this sickness like it's terminal or anything.
I've had this.
I have.
It's something that, you know, he's had to learn to manage. Yeah. It's difficult some days. Some days are better than others.
Right.
But
and he has to tell each sexual partner that he has it before.
I do tend to tell them before if I have it at the time.
By law.
If it's flaring up.
Yeah.
So I get sinus infections like almost every year at this point. It's like my sinuses just hate me.
You're like a little girl.
But the one thing I've never done before was fly while having a sinus infection.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun time.
I don't think I've felt pain like that before. Right? Like my face felt like it was in a vice. And more importantly, when I got stuffy and I sneezed blood. So I started to wonder what the heck was going on. I got nosebleeds because of the air pressure affecting my sinuses. And it was freaking weird. But I'm past that. I'm now in Jamaica and no longer on planes. So I think I can survive this. And Damien is an idiot. What you listening to? Is it Tom Waits?
Nothing.
Can I tell you, Damien, I looked at those headphones and I said, Andrew, Damien's a moron.
Yes.
Because, and Andrew actually said this much to me,
that
maybe it's just us, because me and him, seeing as, you know, our brothers, we're genetically related.
Right.
We have some similarities.
Mm-hmm.
One of these is we both have kind of large ears.
Yes.
Right? So what I'm holding in my hand for you listeners who can't see is a pair of headphones.
Can we tell them what kind of headphones?
Sure.
I have no clue.
V-Moda M80 Crossfires.
Okay, right? So, Amazon, you need to pay us some money because we just marketed your stuff. But these are very tiny. The earbuds are very tiny. If I put them on, it doesn't even half cover my ears. And I know that while, for the first couple of minutes, it won't make a difference. If I listen to anything for any period of time, this is going to get uncomfortable for me. So I could never wear any of these types of headphones.
So these are bulletproof. As you can, like, they're made out of industrial grade everything. And
can I test it?
You can
try. Like properly test it? Like,
yeah.
I can put it under the car and just run over it and see what happens.
There's no.
We'll do that later. We'll put it under the wheel.
And so this is just for when I'm traveling. I needed something that didn't look like my regular headphones. Like at a certain point I have to grow up and not wear, like, my other headphones are massive.
You mean these?
So the AKGs are bigger than this. It's like strapping a pillow on your face. And they're not good looking at all. So I went, yeah, if I'm going to go out on the road, I'll need something that I can carry. Hence the bag. And something that looks stylish and sounds good enough. And so I got these. They are small. But that was part of the reason I wanted. Because they're small. And they fit on your ear pretty well.
Yeah, they seem fine.
And they're not heavy.
Side note, whilst going through the Dallas airport, I think I saw those. 200.
Yeah.
That's about right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
They're about. I got them for 107.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me those were like $300 headphones. Mm-hmm.
There's bigger ones.
Once you're in the headphones, once you're in the airport, it should at least triple the
price.
Like,
no, I mean, when they came out 2-3 years ago, they came out at 200 and they've slowly dropped. And I saw this special one with, I should get these.
Okay.
And so ends the unnamed headphone podcast.
Headphone podcast. So moving on. This week, Damien has asked us to watch the first in the Colors trilogy by Krzysztof Kieslowski. Blue. And before we get into this movie, and before I let Damien kick it off, because I know he's seen this movie a long time ago, and he talks about it a lot to me, and he keeps saying we should watch it. And I'm going to tell you, Damien, I'm slightly angry with you.
Okay.
Not because you did this, because I know you do this from time to time, and with movies like this, I get to them when I get to them. But mainly because you fucked up my planning, right? I'm participating in what Ryan McNeil is doing throughout the year is called the Blind Spot series, where you challenge yourself to 12 movies every year that you want to watch. And because you schedule it out per month to write about and talk about and this stuff, this as well as the other two movies are scheduled for December, and you just jumped the gun on me, right? And I know this is like means nothing. It absolutely means nothing. But I'm slightly angry with you because you messed up that table.
He's still talking to me, right? I stopped listening a long time ago.
Oh.
Sorry. Well, complaining about nonsense.
First of all, I assume you're never listening to me.
Not really. I was playing with my headphones.
Especially when you have headphones in your head. New headphones. And a phone in your head.
Not my phone.
That's pretty much yours until later. Until tomorrow.
If I never see her again.
It's your phone, it's right?
Still my phone. I like my plan better.
What you could do, Damien, is you could gouge out your eyes, and then it would always be your phone.
And you once again, as Robinson, I like the way you think.
I have some tools downstairs that could probably be very useful to you.
Vous montrez quelque chose de ce que vous avez composé? Son et violon?
Les altos. Maintenant.
Anyway, talking about this movie, Damien,
I'd actually like you guys to tell me what you think first. You guys know what I think about this movie. I've talked about it and the other two quite a bit. So I want to know, now that you guys have finally seen it, what do you think about the movie?
Douglas and his phone.
Okay, well, this movie. I think the thing that I most liked about this movie was, actually, it's a specific moment. Because this, so it's a French movie, so there's one tick.
You're welcome, Douglas.
Right. It also stars Juliette Binoche, so three more ticks. Because I really like her.
Shocking.
Yes. I think that's kind of where the tick stopped. But there was one thing that I really liked about this movie. And it showed itself in a specific scene. And before I get there, what this movie is really about. At its core is Juliette Binoche in the beginning of the movie loses her family in an accident. Her husband, her daughter, they die tragically, and she is left to, you know, pull the pieces together, essentially. And this all happens in the first scene, so I don't think I'm giving anything away. And this boy on the side of the road finds them because they're in a car accident. He finds them. And at some point, he tries to get back in touch with her, to speak to her. And, you know, a lot of movies do this, where the aggrieved or the person that has gone through some sort of trauma makes this kind of heart-wrenching and close and just weird or wonderful connection with this person that is somehow related to the incident. That does not happen in this movie. And
no, it does not.
Aggressively so. And I really appreciated that about this movie. Because essentially this boy comes to her. He sits down there having, you know, a cup of coffee or whatever, and they're talking, and he's like, you know, I phoned you. You can ask me anything. Mm-hmm. We can talk. Yeah. And she says, no. says it in about as many words. She's just emphatically on the other side of the spectrum.
No. I was there just after it happened. Would you like to ask me anything? No.
But
keep all that nonsense to yourself.
And I feel this is one of those movies. This feels to me like it's my double life of Veronica. Right?
Well, you have to have one.
Yeah, you exactly. We have to have one. We all have to have one of those. And I feel like I really want to watch it again because it looks like a movie that I should love. And for some reason, it isn't connecting with me the way that I feel it should. It has all the right things. As I said, French, Juliette Binoche, weird kind of, not exactly weird, but a story that's not exactly cut from the cloth of what is usually on, you know, the television or whatever. But I feel like there were just a lot of things going on here that didn't quite mesh together. I tried to think about it and I only just watched it a couple hours ago, so bear with me. I don't think I've kind of put all of my thoughts together on this, but I feel like maybe, you know, they were trying to, I don't know whether it was they were trying to connect everything through the husband, because there's a lot of pieces of storyline and relationships that kind of have the husband at the center, because the husband is a fairly famous composer and he's affected a bunch of people, both that he knows and doesn't know, you know, through his music or just by being a person, because, you know, as people we tend to have, you know, friends and enemies.
I've never heard of him.
And those kind of play together, but what I felt like they didn't actually, there was never a connection between them. It was just these five or six different things, and they were just there, and they were just kind of left hanging, right? And maybe I just didn't get it, and I feel like that's what happened. I feel like I just didn't get it. Do I sound like somebody? Do I sound like somebody who watched The Double Life of Veronica? Yes, I sound exactly like Damien, don't I?
Mistake.
and also, another thing that I know I didn't understand, and I know because they're not very subtle with it, is the color scheme, is the fact that it ties in with the name of the movie, the blue, and I think that the color is used specifically to invoke like specific emotions. I started to notice that it was always used. It was always not used because blue was all over the place, but it was always kind of pushed in the forefront with music, specifically music that would sound like something you imagine would be composed by her husband. And there was deep grief, or it felt like there was deep sadness in that moment. And I wonder, I just really want to watch this movie again, so I know what I'm talking about here, and hopefully I can actually say to you, I love it or I don't love it. But something tells me I'm gonna watch this 20 times, and it's gonna get back into the Veronique loop. I feel like that's.
I don't know what you're talking about. That Veronique is the worst movie of all time.
I'm sure it is. How many times have you watched it?
I don't. Once.
You're talking about once yesterday.
Once.
Once in the last 2 hours.
Only the one.
So
if you're gonna be able to watch it while the steam commit.
I guess that's it for me.
You just close your eyes and
I think this is definitely an interesting movie. It's something that a lot of people praise, a lot of people love it, and it seems rightfully so in the sense that, you know, there's something there to kind of, you know, get the brain cells going. And I really do hope to watch it and to love it, because at the end of the day, why am I watching movies if you know, it's not to enjoy them or be stimulated in some way. But Andrew, what did you think?
Mm-hmm. What did you think?
So Damien gave me eye cancer today.
Uh-huh.
And it was the best French movie of all time.
Sure.
I love this movie. I think it was kind of fantastic. It's I don't think I had quite been ready yet to try and engage with this movie on a deeper level than what is.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
By the way, guys, if you wonder why the hell we're doing this, Damon is currently playing with his phone because he just can't help play with technology when it's given to him. Right? So this movie, I adore this movie. I think as it relates to, I'd like to think this subcategory of films, which is all about grief and managing grief and dealing with how you view your life after, it is a very engaging movie. I don't want to use the word interesting because I don't think this movie really does much for me in a way of enlightenment or anything like that. It's just kind of engaging us in keeping with the character of Julie and all of her, this word feels light, adventures post her.
Oh, that's what she went on.
It kind of feels like that because
went on an
adventure.
It's pretty good.
And all of these things that happen to her afterwards. I mean, Douglas talks about meeting up with that guy who we see at the beginning of the movie who sees the crash. But I like to focus on some of the things like the loose neighbor, right? Who almost gets kicked out of the apartment. The friend of the family, the friend who is the composer and talking about the music and stuff. Like, I kind of view these things as all just kind of happenings as opposed to it being like how I was looking at Under the Skin, where I felt like there was more there, or Ida, where I felt like I could see new things if I saw this movie again. This movie doesn't feel to me like that kind of movie. And I don't want to discredit it in any way, because it doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy watching this movie, because I did. I thought it's one of these movies where it keeps me there, like it never loses me. And it's because all of the acting, all of the writing, everything, it's just so good about it that it just comes together. You talk about the colors, I'm not quite sure what to think of the colors at this point. And I think maybe if I go through the rest of the trilogy, I might get a better feel for what the colors are really supposed to represent in themselves. But one of the things that I saw in this movie, which actually I have a question about, is this style that the director had used, where in a lot of conversations, he would cut scenes in half. I'm not sure if he said he's cutting off a scene to start another one that happens to be in the same area, or cutting a scene in half.
So is it weird, right?
Yeah.
I noticed that. And
he does it a lot
throughout
the movie.
In my mind,
mm-hmm.
because I'm a horrible person,
mm-hmm.
I immediately made up a reason for it. And it is the dumbest. It is just me making fun of this movie. I said, I know exactly what he's doing. He's inserting perfect breaks or perfect cuts.
For TV.
For commercials.
And this, if you haven't guessed it, is currently the end of the Unnamed Movie Podcast. Douglas, I hate you right now.
Oh, God.
I don't even know how I can seriously say without actually thinking about that right now at this point. Damon, can you follow that?
What is happening?
What just happened? I think I passed out a while ago. I just heard something so stupid and my brain is actively rejecting it. Douglas didn't just say what I think he just said, did he?
Well, you know this made-for-TV movie? I'm going to ignore him and just stare at the computer. Feel better about myself. Oh, computer. Oh, so wonderful, computer. Guys,
you know what's scary?
Please,
Douglas is the smartest of the three of us.
I refuse to accept that fact.
Up until right this second. Where we have proof, recorded evidence. Not only is that not true, we might have to seek medical attention.
But I have another question.
I don't want to hear anything else from
you. Seriously, so we've been just laughing for like a half an hour now. Why do people listen to this podcast again?
I listen to it because I'm on this podcast and I find it hilarious.
So back to the actual weird cutting thing that's going on in this movie, where it feels like a scene almost comes to its conclusion, and he'll fade out, right? In my mind, sometimes I actually heard the Law and Order sound. and the scene end.
Wait,
and
then no, you can't be making jokes about Law and Order. You guys don't watch that show. Absolutely not. Nope, no Law and Order jokes from me.
But then when the scene comes back, it's in exactly the same point, and it's a continuation of it. And the only thing I could come up in my mind, and I have no idea as to whether this is true or not, I feel I have to look at it again to check, is almost, it could be a fantasy. Where the scene has ended, and it tends to happen in a point in which she's being asked of something, and sometimes she will give like a normal response, like a regular social civil response that manages what you expect her to deal with, all of the grief she's dealing with, and then it goes off into this other conversation. One of the examples I remember specifically was when she was talking with the friend Olivier, again later on in the movie, and he was asking her about how she was doing, and she was like, after all of that conversation, she was like, I'm doing all right. And then it comes back and they just have this long spurn on about the actual music afterwards, and I kind of started to feel like I wasn't sure if what came after that little break was real or not. I wasn't sure whether it meant, I don't want to repeat myself, but basically that. It's an interesting little bit, but I'm not quite sure what to think of that at this point in time. Damien?
Yes.
Would you like to repeat what you've been saying for the last year and a half, or...
Do you have anything new to add to the conversation,
sir? Do you have anything to say about what we have said?
Alright. I knew both of you would love this movie. So it kind of surprised me to hear Douglas be kind of wishy-washy about it. But usually when Douglas is doing that, he's just lying to himself.
He's protecting his heart.
Right, he knows he likes it. He just doesn't really know why.
And the weirdest part...
Because we have to use
that
words.
That tends to be his best feeling about movies. Yeah. When he doesn't know why, it's when he loves the movie more.
And because we have to describe these movies using words, and he's not very good at that.
Imagine if you could use pictures. Oh
Lord, it would be glorious. A mind like his. But I know Douglas loves this movie. And Andrew loves in this movie. Like, this movie is essentially what podcasts like this were built off. It is the reason we talk about movies. I remember I had seen Veronique first and loved/hated that movie, as usual. And I just assumed that all his movies was going to be like that. Just confusing nonsense that is supposed to have some heartfelt meaning, but it is mired in the confusion of the movie. And then I saw this trilogy. And each of the stories is just a singular story about a singular person. Like, he's not wrapping in other things. There's no twin sisters. There's no... All of them have... I mean, I shouldn't say that. The two that you've seen so far have something to do with the arts, music and dancing and whatever. And the thing with the cuts, which is not for commercial break, you moron.
Intermission then?
Sure, the 19 intermissions. When you watch it, you see, like, the more times I've seen it, every time that there's a pause, what I do is kind of jump ahead, but not with what happens in the movie, but what I would do in that situation, the answer that I would give, it's like giving you just enough time for you to go, guess what? Like, I'd say this in that situation. And then you see it come back, and it's the same position. Nothing has changed. It's just now they've given you the, there's a specific word for the sound that they play during that space. I don't remember what it is. Like, they play the sound, and you see it come back, and then you see her give another just incredible answer. She wants to not feel anything, and of course the world doesn't accept that, because you're not supposed to be like that. And at the start of the movie, a lady comes to interview her, and immediately the lady's like, you've changed. You weren't as cold. You weren't this cold the last time. And she's like, I don't know if you've heard. I lost my
That scene made me angry, because the way she did it, so she was like, she's hanging off of her mouth, trying to get this woman to speak to her. And she said, you know, she's like, why aren't you, I'm not going to do this in an article. Yeah. I just want to put you on TV in an interview. And Juliette Binoche, she's like, no. And then after all of that, after she's imposing, she's being the dickiest of dicks, right? She says, she has the ball to say,
you know, young lady, you were just rude the last time. And she's like, I don't know if you've heard.
You see,
my husband and child are dead. Exactly. That is how quickly I fell in love with it. Like, after that scene, I went, this movie is incredible. And it's just on and on like that. By the time it gets to the scene with the young man in the diner and the locket, I already 100% adore this woman. And I knew the first time that there's no way this is going to end how he thinks this is going to end, how most audience have been trained for the, he's like, so you know, and she just caught on a no. 100% not playing this game with anybody. And it's like her performance, the movie is 90% her. So if you like her, if you like the character, and of course her performance is incredible, there's not much around the edges for you to not like about the movie. There's stylistic things with the long pauses and the blue color scheme. Like, there's
and some of the way that the camera moves, I noticed were very, and this might sound bad, but in my mind, it was a very French movie in terms of the way the camera moves. Like, for instance, and I don't remember everything that came to mind for, but one specific shot I remember, I think she was running up a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
And, you know, under normal circumstances, you'd have the camera on her, or maybe panning or something like that, with her going through the frame.
Sure.
And instead, the camera, there was a point where the camera just went down and just looked at the stairs themselves, and then kind of went back up to her. And I was like, even for a moment, I thought to myself, and I know you guys hate this movie, but I thought to myself, oh, Zazie Dans le Métro.
There was actually also this one moment I noticed talking about the camera in the pool, where she went into the pool and the camera didn't follow it, just kind of went around, almost just taking, and then she just pops up at the other side, like she was under the water, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, this movie gave me hope for the next two movies, Red and White, and like it doesn't disappoint. At this point, I've only seen those four, and Veronique is the outlier. It is the one that clearly was high and drunk when he made that one, because the rest they're simple, they're straightforward, and they're clean. Like, there's nothing extraneous about those movies. You just watch them, and it is the thing. She's been hurt, and she wants to be cut off, and that is all this movie is. And like, there's, It just, like, it goes. There's not a rush, but the movie is 90 minutes long, and at no point does it feel bogged down by anything. A lot of these movies, when people are depressed, it tends, like, you tend to feel depressed right alongside him. Like, the movie feels like it slows down to a crawl.
Yeah.
They're just wallowing in despair. But none of that happens here.
It's true.
She just moves.
For this movie, and you know what? I think we need to put in a disclaimer. Because I think people need to understand that we are different. Especially you and me, Damon. Right? Because I know that as much as I'm not sure if I like this movie, every time she made one of those, as you call them, outlandish responses,
mm-hmm.
I, and I'm sure you, were just cheering for her. And
so glad.
The slow clap
yes.
and everything.
Because we're bad people.
Exactly. Because when we see somebody respond like that, we...
Mm-hmm.
It's like we respect them.
Yeah, that is how I would respond. This feels right.
Yes, you know, normal people would watch this and you'd have, you know, their mouth shaped in an O, a hand over that O, and
shaking
some very
their head,
confused thoughts.
I can't believe it. Shoot,
but us that gains a stamp of
approval
from us. Yes,
she's just like. She's tired and bitter, and but she's earned the right to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
And people keep approaching her like, no, you're not supposed to do that. And she's like, fuck all of you people. Y'all can eat dicks. I'm going to stay here, tired and miserable and alone. This is what I want. I've earned the right to do that.
So, okay, question. I thought there were no questions. For you guys.
Ah.
It is a mini Tom poll. Just Tom. All of the people that Juliette Binoche interacts with throughout the movie, who is your favorite person / interaction? Do you have one? I have one.
Okay. What's yours?
The slutty Debo.
Okay.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Well,
I love when she calls her to the club and that scene.
Yeah. And my father was here.
Yeah.
Why is your father? Never mind, it's French. Of course he was.
Exactly. I thought of one, but then I realized that's not my favorite. But I wanted to say it because I've already said my favorite. My favorite interaction is
the young man
in the coffee shop.
He was expecting a thing.
He tries to be her friend. He asks, you know, if you want to. Ask me anything about an accident, about this.
No,
just that was the perfect
cut off.
That was the point, and this is why I'm kind of not sure I like this movie, because that was the point when I said I am going to love this movie, and then I just, not that I didn't, but I'm just uncertain, and that's odd, right? When I commit, it's supposed to happen. I don't know. Yes, so Damon, your favorite?
My favorite part, and this is because I've seen this movie a trillion times at this point.
Yeah.
There is a scene when she goes back to her castle or chateau or whatever.
Yeah, that's my second favorite, if it's what I think it is.
It's not what you think it is. There is a scene when she goes in and her maid is crying.
Oh, oh,
I love that bit.
Okay, yeah.
And she goes over to the maid and she's like,
yeah, that's a good scene.
Why are you crying? And the maid looks at her and goes, because you're not crying. And one of us has to. I'm like, yep. I've seen so many. Like, every time I say that, I want, like, it kind of, that scene gives you all that this movie is going to be about. Right? If something so sad happens that even the people who work for you have to show emotion, but you are at the point where you're like, no, I'm done.
Cut off.
I'm done. Because yeah, this is all this movie is. It's a nice small scene, and because I love that scene, as the years have gone by, you do what you do when you watch movies a lot. You come up with stupid jokes, and the joke that I keep coming up with and keep laughing at, despite the fact that it kind of doesn't make any sense, is that the maid's name is Marie. And so even in France, they still have Mexican maids. Because I'm a terrible person.
I didn't laugh at that joke.
No, because it's not a good joke. It's a joke for me. And I smile all the time.
Alright, so there you go.
She's not just so that everyone who hasn't seen the movie knows, she's not Mexican.
So there you go, Damien. You've gotten us to watch Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, I was about to say Blue is the warmest color, but...
With my next pick, we'll be watching Red. Mm-hmm. And then with the other pick, we'll be
watching White. But White is second.
I don't care. I can do what I want. I'm a grown-up.
No, you can't.
Damn it. Alright, we're watching White. You feel better?
Where did Tom go?
Into the real world.
That two-bit minor character leaves and we're stuck.
I wonder what it's like out there.
They don't look like they're having too much fun to me.
Hey, what the hell kind of movie is this?
Paper said it was a romance set all over the world.
Look, don't tell us your sad stories. You think we like this?
Look at this. They sit around and talk. And no action? Nothing happens?
I want my money back. This is outrageous.
Why don't you stop yapping? We've got problems of our own.
You can't talk to my wife like that. Who do you think you are?
I'm a genuine countess with a lot of dough, and if that's your wife, she's a tub of guts.
It's a miracle.
And it won't be those two, so I should get in.
What is it? One in every third goes to everyone in every
something
three?
Like that. That sounds like math.
So this week we'll be doing questions. We don't have the game, the quizzes, because... That round is over and I haven't decided to start the new round.
You're busy.
I'm busy.
Mm-hmm.
I was sick.
Playing Diablo.
And Diablo.
You're sick with Diablo.
Sick with Diablo. I have a PS4, man. I'm allowed to be sick.
Stop. Same PS4 beside me. It burns.
So, in the honor of the PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm. In the honor.
In the honor.
The honorable PlayStation 4.
I don't really have anything to follow that. Just wanted to get to say that term and see what happened.
I'm surrounded by you.
Damien asked us to watch the Three Colors Blue film. And with that, he wanted us to list our top five 90s foreign films. Yes. And I want to tell you, Damien, that...
No. I didn't say the top five. I said your favorite. There's a big difference. Big, big difference. I said favorite. At no point did I say what you said.
Okay.
So I said favorite.
Anyway, yes. I just wanted to put something out there. Andrew knows the answer to this. So so this is a pop quiz specifically for Damien.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you the
answer. How much chalk would I watch?
Well, that's 5 gallons a day. We know that.
Everybody.
But, so I read your email incorrectly.
Mm-hmm. I read it incorrectly as well.
Uh-huh. Right?
And I made my list based on that. It was a short list. I actually didn't get to five. But, which is weird, considering who we're talking about here.
That is actually very scary, and I don't understand.
The pop quiz for you, right, today, because I didn't really change my list that much.
Right.
So, you are going to have to guess what I thought the list was originally, based on...
I'll tell you what I thought it was originally. And I was angry because it was... too wide. I didn't see foreign. So I just saw a blanky 90s. And I was like...
Favorite films from the 90s.
I'm like, there are too many. I can't make...
The Rock.
I can't make
the
these
Matrix, The Matrix.
The Rock, Armageddon, and The Matrix. Bad Boys. And then... Lilo Dallas. I'm done. Nah.
Just think how many movies Martin Scorsese released in the 90s.
17? Thousand? Something like that. Kept pushing them up. What did I think, Douglas? I mean,
No. Yeah. I'm giving you until the end of the list. So you can actually hear
the nonsense.
What the nonsense that I have on the list.
So I guess I'll kick it off.
Right. The list is supposed to be for the listeners.
Yeah.
Favorite foreign films from the 90s.
I decided to ignore the word favorite.
Okay. This is objective. I've run the numbers.
These are the definitive movies. If you haven't seen these foreign films from the 90s, you now have movies to go and
watch. I typed these into Google and the numbers that came back, these are the top numbers.
And, however, I am making an addendum. One film I'm just not going to mention because I feel I've talked about it enough. I've actually made us review it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Close Up.
Of course.
I'm just not going to put it on the list.
Why not?
Yeah, but you know what's cool or uncool is that by not putting it on the list,
he's mentioned it first, so yeah. He gets an extra pick.
Yeah,
he thinks he's slick and ruined. Doesn't realize that's a move we pulled.
Oh, many times.
So we're terrible.
So kicking it off with my number five, I'm going to go straight into the world of Japan with a movie that came out in 1999, a horror film, and it is Takashi Miike's Audition. Have either of you guys seen this movie?
I'm pretty sure you forced us to watch that movie.
No, this one was not one that I made you guys watch.
I
don't think I've seen Audition. It is infamous for the girl who uses a piano wire and does horrible things to people. And it is freaky as all shit. Like, if we talked about movies which played with tension in ways that horror, we wish more horror movies did, this is one of them. And there is some jump scares in there where, sadly, if you read certain corners of the internet, there are people are ready to spoil for you and I refuse to mention it. But it is kind of glorious.
I like that movie a lot. I'm pretty sure we talked about this movie. Like, on this thing. I remember there was, I think you were telling me about Chaser at the time.
Chaser.
Yeah.
I remember that movie.
I remember it coming up because I remember watching the two of them around the same time.
Did a few of us watch The Chaser?
Yes, we have. Yeah. We did watch The Chaser, but the audition was not an official like review. I don't know if we've talked about it.
Okay. Maybe we did because remember there was a point where we used to do the, you know, what we watched.
Oh, yeah. So maybe, that's probably what happened. Right, because I remember watching The Chaser and Audition. I remember loving Audition more than The Chaser. Pretty sure we.
Really?
It's really good.
More than Korea and Revenge.
Look, Korea, listen. Listen. Just because I like something better, it doesn't mean make The Chaser any less good.
But all it is that I am now gauging how good you think this movie is.
It's real good. I think it is really, really good. Like, Korean Revenge good. Yeah.
Douglas, you haven't seen this movie.
Have not.
You should watch. So, Damien?
Yes. As everyone knows, if they've listened to this podcast, Bad Mind is always active.
Always.
At all times and in all places. And so, I'm going to start
with can see a my list.
Film from 1995 called La Haine. We've reviewed this movie on this podcast. Yeah. It's fucking incredible.
Okay.
And that's my number five.
That's great. So my number five. Let me see. What am I going to go with? I'm going to go with a movie that we tend to make fun of sometimes. A movie that
that's a very long list.
A certain South African definitely made fun of. And that would be a movie by the name of Braveheart. What?
Oh, Lord.
What? Are we going to say that this is not a foreign film?
No, that's not.
Okay. Okay, because Andrew has that look on his face. No. Like, I'm about to smash Douglas because he's you know, pulling this. He's bending the rules too far.
You know, Jim Jeffries is Australian, right?
Yes.
Oh. You said South African makes fun of.
Oh, no. I was thinking of the A-Team.
Yeah. Oh!
Because.
Fair enough. Yeah. Separate jewels.
And he's South African,
yeah.
Right? I got that.
That's the thought.
Okay.
I thought you were making reference to the Jim Jeffries.
Oh, no. However, Jim Jeffries is also funny.
Like so Australians and South Africans.
Exactly.
They're basically the same thing.
Yeah.
That's criminal.
Yeah. And by the way, that Australian made fun of South Africans. So it's like a full circle. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. A crooked circle.
But a very big spirited circle.
Yeah. Circle nonetheless.
Exactly. But yeah, Braveheart, as much as I actually watched a piece of it recently and I think that it's a bit dated, it's still. Is fun to Yeah, it's still great. And and as much as, you know, the personal life of Mel Gibson may not be the prettiest, and
you know Mel Gibson? You've met him?
No, I don't.
Oh, so why do you give a shit?
I'm just saying, right? Because there are people who as soon as you praise, well, praise is a strong word, but as soon as you put any positive light to somebody like Mel Gibson, somebody who has been kind of dragged through, well, I shouldn't say dragged through, but has put himself out there, and you realize, he's not a good person.
Not even close.
Right? Then, you know,
I can't like anything that he did.
Exactly. But I really like that movie. That movie is great. You know, he clearly is, he's extremely talented.
Yeah.
And, you know, even some of his latest stuff that I watch a lot. But anyway. Machete. Oh, yes. I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking more along the lines of A Puppet. But yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, The Beaver.
I didn't like that movie.
I like that movie. I like that movie. But yeah, Braveheart. Awesome movie.
So my number four goes to a filmmaker that you guys love 20 times more than me, but this movie is the best that I've seen of him, and you guys can keep telling me about all the other ones I haven't watched yet, but this movie is so good, and it is Lars von Trier's 1996 effort in which he told all of the churches to go fuck themselves. Mm-hmm. It's called Breaking the Waves.
Yep,
that's not on that list. I don't see it there. Ah. There goes one.
That movie is quite possibly one of the best pieces of storytelling I've seen in a long time.
He's real good.
Like some movies like that, I tend to get the feeling at some point that the filmmaker would have been better off writing a 3-page essay to put in the newspaper, and I'd read it and I'd feel the same, and I'd get the equal amount of no, this movie, it's perfect. And I think for the main point that even if you know where this movie is going at the beginning, sometimes it misdirects you at so many points where you're like, it can't be going there. And then it brings you right back, and it's just great.
Yeah, it's really good. I'd like to thank Andrew for stealing one of my picks, because of course he did, because he's a jerk. His entire face is a jerk.
Yeah.
Number four, there's a professional. His name's Leon.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I saw that movie as a child, because of course I did. My parents were watching me watch Shutter Buffett, like, I remember losing my mind, because that movie, in action, it's just violence and sex the entire time, and I was, let's say, 10, 11, and just staring at the TV, and just loving every second of it. And as I've gotten older, and have realized that, what's her name, the girl?
Natalie Portman.
The Natalie Portman I know now, and looking at her then, I went, what happened? She was supposed to be, like, incredible by now, but she just keeps coming in garbage. Every now and again, she gives us a black swan, but if you look outside of that, it is there's a lot of Star Wars and chick flicks hovering around her. It's
her career peaked when she did the SNL shorts doing the rap. That was
beautiful.
You're all bad
people. So special about that. To this day, I would just sit down and watch that.
Like, I still like her. I just expected her to be more and better.
I would take this down into a separate conversation, but sure.
You guys don't have to agree with me.
No, I don't disagree with you. I just a couple other facts that should come into that.
And you know what? I understand where Damon is coming from, because sometimes life is ugly, right? But certain people don't think so. One of those people is Roberto Benigni, and he thinks that life is beautiful. and guess what, guys?
Can I deduct a point? We're still having keeping score.
Guess what? If we go by that movie, Life is Beautiful, that movie is the best. The best. I remember the first time I saw that movie, I was in awe. I did not understand how he could use that subject matter and just pull at the right heartstrings, because that's something I don't like. Right? And you know, I say all the time, you know, forget this blind side.
You don't like being manipulated.
I don't like being manipulated, but if you can do it right,
when you get it right. It's the reason everyone loves that movie. You can't not like that movie.
Exactly, yeah, you can't.
You'd have to not have a heart.
Yeah. And so my number four is, in all its Italian glory, Roberto Benigni's Life is Beautiful.
It is.
It truly is.
So my number three, I've taken us to Japan, talking about women with piano wires. We've gone so far also to England and Denmark and all of those places to talk about breaking the waves. Now we're going all the way to China, to the land of Damien, to the land of the one Mr. John Woo, with tequila time as we talk about hard-boiled. Because I don't care how serious or unserious your list is, your list about the 90s and foreign films begins and ends with John Woo and Chow Yun-fat in Hard Boiled in 1992.
Listen, I would love to have the reverence that everyone has for this. I like it a lot. The problem is, 3 years before, they put out The Killers. That shit is incredible. When you compare Killers to Hard Boiled, it is like comparing Usain Bolt to the rest of the world.
Which one is The Killer?
The Killer is the one with him and making the girl go blind. Ash, made you watch that one?
Girl go blind?
The girl is singing.
Is it?
He's a gangster.
Is there one where like he? Is it the one where the baby pees on him or something?
No, that's Hard Boiled.
That's Hard Boiled. Yes. Okay. He's a gangster.
Yes, he's a gangster in The Killer. He's actually an assassin.
Oh, okay, yeah, I kind of remember.
I mean, you watch the two of them together, like, relatively close. Yeah,
and I can't remember which one, but one of them, I was just like, eh, and one of them, I adored.
You're on him.
I'm on his side? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I remember having, like, guys, I'm not dispelling The Killer. I love The Killer, right? I think the two of them are pretty damn great. But The Killer came out in 89, and Hard Boiled came out in 92.
The reason it's not on my list. There's something vastly superior
at the same
that
time,
I like to watch more.
I kind of edge Hard Boiled. I edge on that movie. And I tend to give it just for that one scene that everyone talks about. And you know, it's the hospital scene where they're going through. And
it's real good.
Like I watched that, and then when you watch some of American John Woo, I mean, Face Off is great, right? MI2 is good.
It's incredible.
I actually like that movie more now. Like, I've rewatched it since,
that
like,
when stupid it bike backflip nonsense. It's so dumb.
But then when you go down to some other American John Woo shit, like Broken Arrow, you remember Broken Arrow?
All right.
Do you remember who was in that movie?
Yes. Two of the greatest actors of all time.
Christian Slater.
Goddamn right.
Oh my goodness.
Listen, I'm going to admit something that I probably shouldn't admit.
Oh no.
Especially reviewing movies.
Oh no.
Don't do it, Damien. Listen, don't do it to us.
I haven't seen Broken Arrow since the 90s.
Stop it.
And I'm never going to watch it again. Because I know, in me, deep down inside, I know, watching it again is going to be bad news bears. But I will go to my grave loving Broken Arrow. I'll never watch it again.
And let's not forget the amazingness that is Paycheck. Right?
Paycheck?
Yes.
That's
Ben Affleck,
right? Yeah. Oh, wow.
And Uma Thurman, which
right.
is so good.
But yeah, like, when you watch those, when you see that scene in Hard Boiled, and you think about that that stint in America, you're like, yeah, I don't think he's going to get better than this.
What happened?
So yeah, Hard Boiled.
Uh-huh.
Right. I'm going to take this back to Japan. A brief little stay, you know. There's this ghost, right? and it resides in a shell. And every now and then they wake her up and she kills everything. I remember the first time I saw Ghost in the Shell, I saw it on Sci-Fi, back when Sci-Fi was a station.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't know what it was. Sci-Fi just went, yo, dog, we're playing movies. And I sat down and lost my mind. I remember that being the thing that made me lose a couple of years of my life to anime. There was a time before anime where I was a happy person. And then anime happened. And it took a lot of people saying lots of dumb shit for me to leave anime alone. But that was the thing. I just assumed all of them are like this. And it was incredible. Ghost in the... Like, I don't think I've seen anything that has wowed me as much as that movie.
I can't remember if I've ever watched all of that movie. I know I've watched lots of snippets.
You feel better?
But I don't know if I watched any of this. Anyway, I quite like that movie. Anyway, so
I'm angry
if
that they
you
made
thought
more. Yes.
If you thought I was going to end this list without bending some rules, y'all done fucked up, son.
Did
Bend It Like Beckham doesn't count.
That's not a movie, so I can't.
And also it came out in 2001.
That's why it doesn't count.
You're all idiots.
So
I just want you all to know that.
My next pick, my number three pick, is an international film. It is a foreign film. Not only is it foreign, it is not just international, it is interstellar. It goes.
That movie hasn't come out yet.
It goes beyond this galaxy and to get there, you must have a multipass, right? And this movie is The Fifth Element, which I am going to call, it is a French film directed by French Luc Besson. Okay. So, Lilou Dallas Multipass.
No.
Yes.
Is Paycheck a Chinese film?
Of course, by a Chinese director.
Is Stoker an American film? Is Stoker a Korean film?
Yeah, I think that's a bad example. I think that's a terrible example. Because it is more Korean than anything else. Douglas, no, you cannot get Fifth Element.
Vertigo British.
Douglas, listen, look at me. Douglas, I want you to pay attention. Fuck no, what Douglas? Look.
Of course, but
that's not bringing rules as much as
ignoring them. That is, you wanted to put a movie on a list and coming up with horseshit. Because you could have just said, well, look, there were actors in that movie that weren't American, so technically it's foreign. It has to be foreign, right?
Of course.
Okay.
But it is foreign.
No, no, sir.
Would you like to know who the production company is?
No, sir.
It's Gaumont.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an American company.
Are we going to keep doing this?
It's a British company.
Are we going to keep doing this? Are you going to stop and pick a real pick? You going to give us a real pick at some point, sir?
Listen.
Oh, this is colorful. And this is stupid.
It was actually filmed in France. God damn it.
Swipe. The harder I press, the bigger the swipe. That is
all of the internet calls it French.
Sir,
movie.
Can you pick a real movie?
What is wrong with you?
So that
it's
Andrew
all right.
can edit.
All right.
No, not all right. Don't. Listen. The list was simple enough. Pick a British movie.
You realize there are only two Americans in that movie,
pick
right?
Pick a British movie. I'll accept British movies
well,
as being foreign.
But you look at British movies as foreign.
Why not?
But they are foreign.
Yes.
So this is.
Terrific.
By a British company.
I understand. Now
it's a
pick,
British movie.
Now pick a real movie. And cut the shit.
Fine.
Yes.
Luc Besson also made La Femme Nikita in the 90s.
Fair
so
enough.
Fair.
I'll accept
Still
that.
Dick.
La Femme Nikita. I like that movie.
So far, we've gone to Japan. We've gone to China.
We've gone
to Denmark and England.
He listened to Douglas.
And
idiot.
I'm going to take us to the country of Iran, because whilst Close Up is kind of what I'd like to remember and I'd like to leave out there, Kiarostami was very, very prolific in the 90s. And there was another film of his which I think comes pretty close to Close Up in greatness. And I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but Taste of Cherry. I've mentioned it before. This movie is fantastic. What are you doing?
Just
ignore.
Taste of Cherry.
Taste of Cherry, the film about the man driving about one day trying to look for someone to bury him after he's committed suicide. It is very much in the vein of Blue. It's one of these movies where you can see it's a topic about depression. It can be talked about in that discussion of depression, because he has these conversations with people. But his resolve is so harsh throughout that movie. It doesn't go the full 100 that Blue does, but it kind of grabs you in that way, I feel. And I kind of love this movie. The only problem is it's not in HD yet. So, we must wait.
I understand. But if The Wire can be put in HD, then all can be put in HD.
So, you yes.
Lying motherfuckers. Alright. Staying in Japan, one more. In 1997, Princess Mononoke came out, and if
no,
you have
part two,
right?
Yeah,
I really was hoping that Nausicaa would have been in the 90s.
It wasn't, though, was it?
I saw it in the 90s. Does that count?
No.
Oh.
No. Counts more than your people. I don't want to hear.
It's a French movie.
I don't
want to
hear.
It's a.
If you have
it's
not seen Princess Mononoke,
movie.
I want you to do two things. I want you to shut off this podcast, and then I want you to go on Amazon and type it in, and whatever the first result is, I want you to hit buy and start what you have. Do not listen to this anymore until you've seen that movie. It is incredible. It is one of the best examples of movie making. It is one of the best examples of animation. It is the only thing I will say about that movie is that it is not geared towards children. That is the thing that Nausicaa did that this kind of didn't. Children don't seem to like this one. I've shown it to enough of them. And all of them have looked at me with blank stares.
They don't like when he shoots an arrow and arms get thrown off.
They don't.
It is one of the most
movie.
Violent
it is.
Miyazaki movies.
And I think because it's not as bright and colorful, that also is holding it back. But if you're not a child, then you should watch this. If you're a child, stop listening to this. Let your parents know that you've been listening to a bad, bad thing.
But would a child let his parents know at this point?
No, okay. Your children, you're idiot. Everyone knows that. Douglas Robinson. Speaking of idiots, Douglas Robinson.
So, I think I'm going to deviate a bit.
The hell you see?
Because one, you decided I wasn't allowed to pick up a perfectly valid pick. And two, you kind of stole, okay, some of my picks. But anyway, I'm going to now move from the country where I thought I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided when I read your email that there were three F's in the email.
Mm-hmm.
It was the favorite foreign films. I thought it was actually favorite French films. So I had a list, a bunch of French films that I had. And sadly, things that I love, like Amelie, I couldn't put it on there, like 2000s. Anyway, so let's move over back to Denmark, right? Where there's always something rotten. And
there is always something
wrong. Especially if it's directed by Refn, right? Nicholas Winden Refn directed a bunch of movies, and the first one was just plain old Pusher, and that movie is fan-fucking-tastic. I love that movie. Mads, he's actually not a big part in it, but he's great. The lead guy in this is great. It's just wonderful.
He's so good. It's scary.
Yeah.
So, my number one, and you thought, I really didn't think I could put something higher than Taste of Cherry or Close Up, but this movie is kind of brilliant, and the more I see it, the more I love it, and I'm taking us to Spain with Pedro Almodovar's 1999 opus, All About My Mother. I don't know if either of you guys have seen this movie yet.
I haven't watched it, no.
But this movie is pretty much the best fantasy movie you'll ever watch. And it's not a fantasy in the sense that we talk about things like Star Wars or every other action movie out there where there are fairies or there are fairies or there are dragons or whatever. This is a fantasy movie in which it feels almost like this child gets to create his own fantasy story for his mother, where she becomes the hero of almost everybody in the movie. And it is so happy, it's so lovely. And it starts out with a death, which is what makes it so weird to me as to how happy it comes off. Pedro Almodovar pretty much throws the kitchen sink at this movie. Anyone who you know as a great Spanish actress shows up in this movie.
At some point.
And it's great. I love this movie. You guys need to watch it.
Never. My number one is three movies. This is the Colors trilogy. I can't pick one of them. I'm not. Stop showing me that. That's a lie that you and Wikipedia have come up with. I refuse to accept it. The Colors trilogy is incredible. We've seen one movie today and it's already been Thumper approved. And by the time we get to the next two, pretty sure those will also be Thumper approved. When you watch movies like this, you just stop. Stop it. Andrew's distracting me from me spewing my love for these movies that I've seen many times. And I've finally gotten you two to watch one, and I'll get you to watch the other two because I have that power. Douglas Robinson.
Yeah.
You have our last film.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I'm going to go with what... So, I've been kind of adjusting things on my list because, as I said, you stole a lot of them. And I'm almost on the verge of putting Underground on my list, but I won't because I haven't seen it in a long time and I may be remembering wrong. So, I'm going to go with the very safe, the very British, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I've been showing Damien pictures from apparently the Fifth Element video game, which came out for the PlayStation.
Seriously? That is impossible. Oh, don't listen to him. That is a lie. Andrew can't prove any of that. That's what he's been doing at work all day. Hacking sites to make this one stupid joke.
Hacking GameSpot, IGN, and Wikipedia all at once.
Can't be that bad.
Anyways, I think at this point we have to end off. So as always, you can hear the podcast over on Gmail Reviews or iTunes or Stitcher.
Come on.
Feel free to follow us on Twitter. Douglas is DJ. I lost his name. Figuring out why Lampard was in the wrong color blue.
Lampard.
David is at David_White. Cheering on Danny Welbeck.
Cheering on Man United.
And
in my Man United shirt.
I am at Gmail Reviews. Trying to forget that football was on today. Thank you so much for listening and good night.
Glory, glory, Man United. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. I'm like an energizer, cause you see I last long. My crew is never ever